Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better call at... Boys and girls, children of all genders and ages, taste and decency, as well as ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T, rolling once again with that J-C-D.
Oh, you were not aware of this?
I'm a madman! Yeah, I'm an ass man.
JCD, welcome back.
How are you?
Ready for tonight's show?
Yep.
Awesome. And once again, our new regular co-host, the Prophet Rick Craig.
Oh, I don't know where I stand on this one.
How are we doing, mates?
All right, that's all I got for you tonight, Craig. Welcome back to the show, Rick.
Thank you, sir.
Are you ready for tonight's show?
I'm always ready, man.
I've got a better question for Rick Craig. More importantly, are you ready for the bro-off?
Yeah, I was going to just suggest that as well. It's time for bro-off.
What is the bro-off exactly?
What happened?
What is the bro-off exactly?
The bro-off
Rob
is,
Terry and Robbie E are bro-ing off against each other in TNA.
Oh, okay.
You just have to be there, Seth.
I guess so.
Can't miss TV.
All right. Well, we have a huge show here tonight, and we have a lot of great shows coming up in the next few weeks. Once again, we are sponsored by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You need to check them out. You need to like them on Facebook. They have over 1,600 likes on Facebook. Follow at PW Powerhouse. You can follow me at Seth Gutt, SETHGUTT. You need to follow JCD. He needs one more follower for 100 at JCD1219NY. You need to like Oh You Didn't Know Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/OhYouDidn'tKnowRadio. And why do you need to follow us? Because you want to win prizes. That's why. Both JCD and I will be giving away prizes tonight. JCD, what prize are you giving away tonight?
The very entertaining 1992 Survivor Series.
All right, we have the VHS version of the 1992 WWE Survivor Series, which includes, I believe, what's the tag team match? Razor Ramon and Ric Flair.
Against the Macho Man and Mr. Perfect, and Bret Hart defending the WWF title against Shawn Michaels. Even if you don't have a VCR to watch it, win it and sell it on eBay. These old classic tapes actually can fetch a couple dollars on eBay. I've sold quite a few.
Well, if you want to win that prize, follow or tweet at JCD1219NY. We will be picking out a winner for that prize a little later on in the show. Tweet at JCD1219NY, I want to win, hashtag OUDK Radio. And I have with me a number of free tickets to World Wrestling Organization show Friday night, April 26th in Paterson, New Jersey. JCD and I will be doing a live podcast from that show. If you want free tickets to that indie event in New Jersey on Friday, April 26th, tweet at me, at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. I want to win, hashtag O-U-D-K radio. And we will choose winners later on in the show. But I think now it might be time to give someone a phone call. What do you guys think? Are we ready for that?
Let's do it.
All right, we are going to give a call to, he was known as Tugboat and Typhoon in WWE and known as the Shockmaster in WCW. Let me get the phone number here. All right. Fred Ottman will be joining us momentarily. Talk amongst yourselves.
So we'll go into that with Tugboat, Typhoon.
All right.
How about Bubba the Belt Collector?
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ottman.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going? This is Seth from Oh You Didn't Know Radio.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome, man. Glad to be here.
Great. First off, how is life after wrestling?
It is excellent. I got a wonderful wife, plenty of kids and grandkids, and a great-grandkid on the way.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
Hey, congrats on that.
Thank you very much, man.
Well, we have a lot of questions here to ask you. I have some questions. My co-hosts have some questions. And we did get a few questions from fans of yours on Facebook and Twitter. So the first question I will throw to you. You portrayed the characters of both Tugboat and Typhoon while with WWF. So how did that transition work? Why did you go from the Tugboat to Typhoon? Was it because of the tag team with Earthquake, or how did that transition work?
Well, I loved doing what I was doing as Tugboat, but they approached me with the possibility of putting me together with Earthquake, and I loved the Tugboat, and I wish I would have had a little bit longer with that character, but I was really excited about being teamed up with John Penta and doing the Natural Disaster. So that's the route that I went. Transition, everything, it was awesome. I mean, he became one of my best friends in the world, and not only in the ring but out of the ring. We worked good together. We worked very similar with very similar styles. Both of us was pretty light on our feet for being such dainty little guys that we were, you know. But
yeah.
It was awesome, man. I mean, it was great.
Well, one fan from Facebook, Bill Mitchell, wanted to know if you have what are some of your most fond memories and stories with the late John Tenta while you teamed together.
Oh man, I had a great story. We went all over. I mean, we've been probably about 45 different countries and, all 50 states and every little town in between. One of the greatest stories, and I've told it several times, is being up in New England doing a double shot. We were up in Stephen King's hometown, and we had a double shot. We were there in the morning, and we were going to be in Boston Gardens that evening. And after we finished wrestling, Stephen King is a big, big wrestling fan. And a lot of times, if he was in that, we were wrestling in that area, he would come to the matches and that stuff. And, well, he wasn't there that day, so we wanted to go check out where he lived. So we hauled Buddy. It had been a snowstorm the night before when we drove in and stayed there. And it was probably a good 10, 15 degrees below. Right around zero, out and about, and snow had packed everywhere. So we went to his house after we finished working before we took off to Boston, and we're taking pictures outside, and I see people peeking through storm doors and stuff like that, because here you are, two big musk oxes out there, you know, in front of this guy's house. And we're taking pictures and everything like that, and all of a sudden we see a car. And the house was really cool. It's like barn red, and it was a cemetery fence around it with three-headed dragons on top of the fence posts and cobwebs out of iron in the corners of the fences and stuff like that. It was just really awesome looking spiders. And while we're taking pictures in front of the house, boom, you know, we look and see there's a Suburban starting up in the carport. So, you know, John runs down to the other fence. I was in the front of the house, and he runs down to the driveway, and next thing you know, the car starts pulling toward him, and he's like, "Mr. King, Mr. King," like a little kid, you know. And it was Stephen King. He's driving to pick his kid up from the ice arena. So I went up there with him and everything, and he autographed a couple of his books that we had with him and everything, gave to us, and talked with us, and he was a nice, nice man. And the whole top of his dashboard was covered with little California Raisin facsimile dolls all the way across the dashboard, you know. And so, I mean, you know, it was cool. I mean, we go to Disney World together many times, you know, go to the zoo and different, depending where we were at and everything like that. I mean, yeah, he was cool, you know. We didn't get in trouble. I'd go to the gym, go eat, you know. He was the ideal tag team partner, man. We had a lot in common as far as interests go. He was a very good family man, just like myself, you know, and I couldn't have picked a better person, you know, to have as a tag team partner and as a friend in life. And I miss him a lot.
Yeah, that's great. It seemed like you guys really had a lot of chemistry in the ring.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I mean, we did a lot of double team stuff and, you know, a lot of crazy and goofy stuff. Both pretty agile. I mean, both standing drop kicks and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of tag team stuff that we did with each other, you know, working as a team. You know, false tags, all kickers and stuff like the small guys were there.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of that teaming as much these days. I'm going to give it to the Prophet Rick Craig, who has the Pro Wrestling Obsession group on Facebook, which you, Mr. Amin, are a member of that amazing group. So, Rick, what do you got for us?
Mr. Amin, how are you this evening, sir?
I am excellent. I'm always excellent, man.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I've got a kind of a multi-tiered question. I guess it kind of, guys, if you'll bear with me, it just depends on how Mr. Hutton answers this. When you did eventually leave WWF and went to WCW, were you and John Tenta in WCW at the same time? Because I know there was a lapse there, I think, like 94 or something like that, where you guys were both in it, but were you at the same time?
No, we weren't at the same time. He actually left, and I actually came in. I had already left earlier, and I opened a couple of businesses in Key West, and my partner, who was my brother-in-law, was shot and killed just before we popped the doors open, because the deal was I was going to be on the road. The times I was off the road, I would fly into Key West, and we had a house there, and I had family there, and I'd spend my days off down there working with him down at the bars, but he was there most of the time. He got shot and killed, and I had to leave WWF. I was done there. And then when he left there, he was in the middle of a deal with Yokozuna. I got a phone call wanting me to take over a bunch of the shops that he had left, and I made arrangements and that where I was able to do that. I wish I would have, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hindsight, I had some issues down south with guys that work with me. But anyway, that's another story altogether. But anyway, I did my shots and stuff like that, came back. But John, when he left there, he went right into WCW, and that's when the Shark gimmick on.
I guess what I was trying to get to is if you guys were in at the same time, why WCW wouldn't have the intelligence to tried to put you guys together as you guys were really over as the natural disasters, why they wouldn't book you, put you together as a tag team again. But that makes sense if you guys weren't there together.
but we were there enough.
So knowing, you know, like you yourself and John, who I consider both of you men to be among the most talented big men in the history of the entire pro wrestling, and it befuddles me to no end why WWE doesn't have both of you in the Hall of Fame. That's another conversation. I guess my question now is, when WCW, knowing that you're an established star, and John, knowing he was an established star, why, and I'm not going to, I guess, go in too much into the Shockmaster gimmick or anything, but when they when they approach you with these gimmicks and stuff, knowing that you've already got an established name out there, why, I guess?
I think pretty basically the legality is, you know what I'm saying? The fact that, you know, those gimmicks, like many gimmicks down there, with Hulk Hogan left, he gave up a lot as far as, you know, residuals and stuff like that to get his name. But, you know, they owned his name because of the merchandising and all that. You know, and most of that would be now. You would have to be in the graces there and have the give you permission to use your name on the outside. Quite a lot of guys who work on the independent circuit, many promoters have gotten letters saying where they couldn't use names formerly known as. You see that in a lot of the advertising.
So in all honesty, what was your thoughts going through your head when you had to put on that Stormtrooper helmet for the first time?
You know, I couldn't see out of it. You know, I had little holes in it, pantyhose over those holes to keep the glitter from falling in my face. I still own it. It sits here in my house.
What are you guys thinking? Or
well, you do what you have to give to. You do what you do, you know. And, you know, in that particular case, like I told everybody, it was a live show. It wasn't a video. It was a videotape deal. It was live on the beach in Daytona. And there's no do-overs, no take-backs. You know what I'm saying? Mike Graham was the guy that gave me the cue to bust the wall out. There was a brace down just right at knee level. And I should have kicked the bottom out first. And instead, I double-axed angle because he says, you know, it's 2x4 is like 12 and 14 inch center, and it was 5/8 plywood. He says, you're going to have to hit this thing hard. I, you know, hit it with everything I had, overhead double axe, you know, fist, and blew the top out. But the momentum blew me through and my knees into that board, and I flipped right flat down on my face, and the helmet popped off like a champagne cork. You know, and I turned my head away trying to take it, you know, so they couldn't see my face, and grabbed for the helmet, popped it back on my head, stood up, you know, and to finish the segment. You know, it was already bad enough. You can't, you know, stagger around, you know, act like a complete retard. It's already goofy enough with the turn of events, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and word has it that brace wasn't even there when you were rehearsing it, right?
No, there was no rehearsing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was no rehearsing it. Got bored. I mean, when I walked out there, they told me where I needed to go, and I went out there, and yeah, there was no rehearsal whatsoever.
From Facebook, the WWO owner Joseph Knight actually wanted to know about why the Stormtrooper helmet with the glitter. You know, why was that helmet chosen? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. That's all up to the people, you know, that do the deal. You know, I just came in there. I had I only used it two or three times, but the outfit I had made had a full face mask on, and you know, and long tights and butcher top to go along with it. It was all metallic and, you know, that space age kind of looking stuff, you know. But that mask there, I have no idea. That's what they came up with, and they gave me, you're going to wear this, and the rest is history.
Right.
Yeah.
JCD, we haven't heard from you yet. Do you have any questions for Mr. Ottman?
Yeah, hey, Fred, how you doing?
Oh, awesome. How you doing?
Got two for you.
Yep.
I was always quite, not weird, but just found it weird that you guys turned face. guys beat them, I think it was by countdown or DQ. Weren't you guys supposed to rematch with them at WrestleMania?
Yeah, that's a big political thing, and I won't really get into it much, you know what I'm saying? That's one of those deals. They actually dropped the belts to
Money Inc., right?
The Beverly Brothers. And we wound up being the Beverly Brothers.
Oh, they dropped to the Beverlys. Okay, I always thought it was Money Inc. Oh,
yeah. They never dropped it to us. They were supposed to.
Right, yeah.
It was a political thing. Pardon me? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys beat them at the Rumble that year by countout or something, right?
You guys are coming off a little garbled. I can't really understand real good what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Like, didn't you guys work them at the Rumble?
Did you work them at the Rumble?
I cannot remember, man, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I cannot remember. We worked them a lot, but not as, we worked them a whole lot, but they wound up dropping the belts to the Beverlys.
And then the other question I had was, if the incident, you know, with the debut in WCW didn't happen, you were a big part of the War Games match. Were there plans for you to work Vader at all?
I can't hear you. You're not, again,
he wanted to know if there were plans for you to work with Vader in WCW as the original Shock, with the original Shockmaster gimmick.
They never said anything about it, to be honest with you. They never said anything about it whatsoever.
All right. JCD brought up the point about you and Earthquake being both face and heel at various times in WWF. Which do you prefer to be? Do you prefer to be a face or a heel in wrestling?
I like them both. I like to have a chance to do the most with both characters, both ends of the rainbow. You know, I like kids. I'm a big kid myself. I mean, tell people all the time, I watch cartoons still. I do crazy stuff, play video games. I'm never going to grow up, you know. Maybe when they put me in the ground, I'll grow up. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Other than that, I like to have a good time. I like, I'm always in a good mood, upbeat mood and stuff like that. And I also like being a heel. When they turn this to a heel, we have fans that love this as a heel, you know, because we didn't change our style. You know, just the fact that we were nicer. We still did the same kind of moves in the ring. We still beat up people on that. But people liked it. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a good guy now. You mean, the thing in wrestling is you can make a guy the worse and the meaner and the badder a heel is. When he turns, it seems the better the crowd likes him. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Watch guys work on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Work as a heel. And then it's the same as when babyface is changed to a heel, okay? They're sweet and kind and beautiful and wonderful, you know, and kissing babies, hugging puppies. And then when you screw the crowd, you're a hated heel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just the way, I guess it's weird just the way that people are, you know?
Did you find that either one was more difficult to play?
No, I think they're both. I mean, to me, it was easy. Either direction they wanted me to do, I could be what they wanted to be. You know, I could have fun taking and grabbing the side of a guy's mouth and yanking at his face, or, grabbing him by the neck and, snap suplexing him over and, power slamming a guy and straddling him and grabbing him by the neck and pull his, and stretch his vertebrae and just smile. You know what I'm saying? I take people out in the crowd and just try and take them off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. And with Quake, we had fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were able to play both roles very, very well.
I haven't put his knee out, and I grab a guy and give him a backbreaker across Quake's knee, and then maybe curl him about 10 times. Bam, bam, just repeatedly, repeatedly, and he just throw him over my shoulders to the floor. You know what I'm saying? It was fun.
Rick, do you have any other questions?
Well, sure. There was a couple, I guess, pivotal points, I guess, in your career when you're with the WWF. I guess almost within a few weeks after your debut in the WWF, you got into a big program with Hulk Hogan at the prime of his career. I was going to ask you what that was like, being in the middle of Hulkamania so early in your tenure. And then you also got to be, I consider you the first real threat to The Undertaker when he was just beginning in the WWF. And did you get any inkling then that he would become this huge, iconic legend now?
Oh, easily. He was a great worker. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I had his first match. You know, matter of fact, I'm real upset about the passing of Paul Bearer, man, because,
terrible.
What a great loss. And what a good guy. You know, good manager, loved the business. You know what I'm saying? And the Taker, you know, they were so good together. That gimmick so over, man, I used to love it, man. He'd take a bump, you know, on his back and then sit up, and the people would be, whoa. You know what I'm saying? And it only has gotten better and better and better. You know what I'm saying? You know, the more he has become a veteran in the ring, you know, psychology and all those things like that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just tremendous, you know?
Well, what about your time with Hogan? How did you feel about being thrust in Hulkamania so early in your tenure?
I was the biggest cheerleader in the WWF, man, okay? I sold a ton of those bracelets, Hulk rules, okay? That they merchandised out there when Quake put them out. You know, so, it was great. He touched all the guys that have ever been touched by Hulk Hogan. You know, that's what made the tugboat, got the tugboat over that quick, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, he's phenomenal. What a great guy, you know? And he's done a lot for the guys in the business, you know what I'm saying? He took the business to the next level.
He definitely paved the way for where we're at today, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he's legitimately a very cool guy, a very good guy. Especially all the stuff that he's been put through over the years and everything else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a good guy.
One of your fans on Facebook, Sergio Flores, wanted to know what your greatest moment in WWE was.
Man, there's so many of them. I mean, to pick out one, I mean, first of all, being asked to be part of the WWF probably had to be one of the biggest thrills of my life, okay? When they got the phone call, I was working here in Tampa, Florida, as a big steel man, and they got the phone call that they were interested in me. I was, like, in awe, man. I called my mom, my dad, you know what I'm saying? I was, like, so excited, incredible. You know, and then to work with the amount of guys, you know, I mean, working in the regular wrestling circuit, working with guys that I watched in the years as a kid growing up, and then being in the locker room with the best guys in the business. Because when Vince was hot there, he had the best heels and baby faces in the world, not just the country, or not just a part of the country. But from every promotion, you know, around, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Champions from all over the world, you know what I'm saying? So it was awesome. And me to be in the same room, I was nervous, you know. To the last day I worked, I've always been nervous, you know, because you just want to do, you worry about the fans, you want to do your best, and, you know, and here you are, you know, and working with all these phenomenal athletes, great wrestlers, you know what I'm saying, that were all champions, you know, in their own right, you know, I mean,
Absolutely. Now, nowadays, a lot of wrestlers have to go through the whole developmental system. What was it like at that point? Were you immediately thrown into, you know, these programs with Hulk Hogan?
Well, yeah, a lot there. But I've been wrestling quite a few years prior to that. You know what I'm saying? I, fortunately, was, you know, but I was still green as a goat when I was tucked in there. But, you know, I had the opportunity. That's where I feel sorry for a lot of the guys today, you know what I'm saying, because there's not the small territories where you can learn, you know, and be out there every night, you know, and, you know, living on the road and paying your dues and that stuff. I mean, you know, they have, like you say, developmental. You know, there's two major companies here in the States. You know, there's still quite a few around the world. A lot of independents, but, you know, there's a lot of guys out there training guys that can't lace the boots, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
And they're training guys because they've been on TV three or four times, you know, and, you know, those kind of deals out there, you know? And so you go there, and there's a lot of guys that believe they're around the independent circuit, that believe their publicity out there, so to speak, you know what I'm saying? And if, you know, it's like my mom says, if I can buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth, you know, I'd be a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of good talent out there. You know, in the WWE right now, there's phenomenal guys and everything there. I mean, there's a lot of good guys that have been wrestling for years out on the independent circuit, you know. I get a chance every once in a while, I go and watch a lot of the guys locally work. You know, my son wants to be a referee, my oldest son. You know, and he's been down here just helping out with developmental until he turned 18. And, you know, and then he's trying to, you know, pay his dues and learn the business. I told him that it's nice to be that, but, you know, go to college and, you know, get in also on the TV and the backside, you know, production.
Yeah. You know,
because, you know, you got to have skills. You know what I'm saying? The more knowledge that you have, and the more knowledge of the product that's being put together, the better. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a phenomenal referee. You know, and I'm very proud of him. You know, he's just one of those guys, like every other young guy out there is looking for a break. You know, and the opportunity to work, you know, and show you what they can do. But the more you're in front of a crowd, the more you're inside the ring, the better you're going to be.
Absolutely. Hands-on learning there.
Hey, Seth, yeah. They didn't need developmental back then. They just took the stars from NWA and AWA.
Mr. Ottman, the last time we saw you in WWE was the WrestleMania 17 gimmick battle royal, where you were eliminated by Earthquake.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that son of a gun.
So, you know, that was about, what, 12 years ago, just about.
Oh, my God, 10 or 12 years. I'm old. I have bad brain cells.
What are your thoughts on the current product compared to then and compared to when you first started?
You know, it's it runs in cycles, and you know what I'm saying. I mean, I believe it's a good product and everything. The last couple of weeks, I wasn't really the deal with that they did with the angler doing here with that guy when May was having her 90th birthday, and then deal with Paul Bear. I'm a little upset. That's a little heated on the internet. You know what I'm saying? All the comments that are being made out there about that, you know, as far as respect goes. You know what I'm saying?
You thought they were being disrespectful?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, I mean, it's just me. And that's my opinion. In my opinion, everybody's got one, so I'm a mistake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm sure you're not the only one. But at the same time, if we think back, there have been so many times where WWF or WWE have, I don't want to say exploited, but, you know, taken advantage of real-life events like that, like Jerry Lawler's heart attack, and they always seem to weave those real-life events into their storylines.
Well, yeah, on that particular occasion, you know, I don't know. I'm not there. I couldn't tell you. I can only tell you what I observed. And just like, it's the equivalent of being any other fan in the audience. You can only make, you know, what's a work and what's a shoot. You know what I'm saying? I felt that that's a shoot. And, you know, and I talked to members of the family online, and, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you have to, you know, where do you cast the first
stone? All right. Rick, you have any other questions?
But, like I said, some things, you know, are just taboo. You know, some
Rick's
things
still
shouldn't
with
be
us?
Touched, I think. You know, and out of respect,
no?
You know, and...
JCD, are you there?
Hello?
Like I said, that's only my opinion. You know, it's not that I take the, you know, take the heart.
I think we lost everybody. Rick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now, yes.
Okay.
That was strange.
I think we lost Seth and...
No, I can hear you now, JCD. You were warbled.
Yeah, you're real clear now.
Sorry about that.
It's all right, dude.
That's okay.
Did we lose Mr. Ottman?
Yeah.
Mr. Ottman's here.
Okay. I think we lost Seth. I think we lost Seth.
By the way, Mr. Ottman, I got to meet Curtis Beefcake the other day, and he told me to tell you hello.
Oh, excellent, man. I haven't seen him. I know he's here at the beach with me, and but I haven't been in the morning. I haven't been out of town for about 2 or 3 weeks. He's another guy. He's an awesome guy.
Hey, JCD, since we couldn't hear you very well, did you have any other questions for Mr. Ottman?
Yeah.
That he might be able to hear this time?
Yeah. Survivor Series 90, you were originally supposed to be on the Hogan team against Earthquake, Bravo, and all those guys. And then you got – was that when you got pulled? Or did you get pulled from – what happened? Oh, no, SummerSlam. Weren't you supposed to be in Hogan's corner against Earthquake?
Man, I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right. Because I thought I remember that's where the angle was going, where you were going to be in Hogan's corner, Bravo was going to be in Earthquake's corner, and then all of a sudden you were out and Bossman was in, and it was like, I always wondered, like, what happened with that?
I couldn't tell you.
So, Fred, how many belts do you still have from your Bubba the Belt Collector days? I said, how many belts do you still have from your Bubba the Belt Collector days?
Oh, my God. I have no belts. That's all extra weight in the bag when you're on the road.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
I do have my belt extension from the WWF days, though.
Excellent.
Because they had to get us extenders to wear our belts because we were man-sized champions.
Well, I am back. I don't know what happened. I lost connection, but I'm back. Hope Rick and JCD.
We carried on.
Kept the conversation going.
Yeah.
All right, JCD, you have any other questions?
I actually just asked.
Okay, great. Rick, any other questions?
No, just the only other thing. I hope we get to all see you in the WWE Hall someday. You deserve it.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'm glad, you know. There's a lot of good guys out there that deserve to be there, to be honest with you. But it would be a great honor to be, you know, just to even be on the list to be mentioned for that. And I appreciate all the fans and the support in that. When I go to the different venues and I have to do these autograph deals and stuff, I'm going up there to see Caucus for a big autograph thing coming up. I'm booked in West Virginia the week after that, but WrestleMania week, I'm booked up there in Secaucus, New Jersey for a big deal.
So you'll be at WrestleCon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing all the fans and stuff.
That's great. I was going to ask where we can see you, but you just addressed that. I know on Facebook sometimes I see advertisements for appearances that you make. I guess you're doing that all over the country, right?
Yeah, well, you know, they can contact me through Facebook, man. Anybody out there, you know, I'm easy to talk to. I'll hook them up with my number and that if they're interested and everything. So, you know, it's one of those deals. I'm pretty cool. I have guys, I meet young wrestlers and stuff on there, and they talk to me all the time, you know, and I try and help them if I can, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's like fantastic. The other shows and that, you know, just try and be as forthcoming as possible. I'm an easy person to talk to.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on our show. We really appreciate it. We had a great time. I hope you did as well.
Oh, yeah, easy. Anytime, man. Anytime we gotta give me a buzz.
All right. Thank you so much again for joining us. Fred Ottman, also known as Tugboat, Typhoon, or the Shockmaster.
Ooh.
Or Bubba the Belt Collector.
Oh, and the Big Steel Man.
And the Big Steel Man, that's right.
Exactly.
You can find
exactly.
me in the WWE.
And the Super Shockmaster.
Oh, there you go, the WWE encyclopedia.
Uncle Fred. How about Uncle Fred?
Uncle Fred, that's it. That's it.
I think we got them all, didn't we?
Yes. Or Mr. Dumas, as my ex-wife would call me.
That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, thank you so much again.
All right, man. Very good. You guys be cool, all right?
Take care,
right, have a good night.
All right, you too.
All right, again, that was Fred Ottman joining us. Very nice guy. Take
cool
guy. Us. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's let everyone know of the different guests that we have lined up. I don't think we went through the list at the beginning of the show. Next week we have the Maestro, WCW's Maestro will be with us. The following week, March 27th, Nigel McGuinness joins us. Most of these are thanks to you, Rick Craig, for making the contact. April 3rd, WrestleMania week, we will have Headbanger Thrasher, Glenn Ruth, will be with us. The following week, April 10th, Big Vito. April 17th, Bull Buchanan.
Is Big Vito on that show that you're giving free tickets to? Did I see
exactly.
that correctly?
Yes, Big Vito will be at the World Wrestling Organization show on Friday, April 26th. And so he will be with us a couple of weeks before that to discuss
cool.
you know, career and you know the upcoming show. And then obviously on April 24th, Rick, you know that we will have Ken Shamrock, which I think JCD is very excited for.
I am. I'm not going to lie. I was a huge Shamrock guy in 97 and 98. I'm not going to lie. He was a different character at that time when they needed someone. I mean, everyone talks about Austin and, you know, Michaels, but Shamrock really doesn't get any of the credit
everything.
He deserves. For what he did during that period after Hart left,
and I was telling Rick, you know, he was part of the beginning of the TNA era.
Well,
right,
yeah.
2004 or
2002.
Don't forget, Vince. We also have Bull Buchanan coming in. We've got Scotty Riggs from WCW coming in.
Oh, right.
We're getting Riggs.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
And we've got Florida Independent 450 pounds. The Big Crush Barrington Hughes is going to join us as well. So
nice.
we'll have a good month.
Yeah, we have guests every week here at OU Didn't Know Radio, every week since JCD's birthday on December 19th.
That's right.
We've had guests every week, and that's going to continue through May.
Yes.
So, JCD, I don't know about you, but I did not get much of a reaction for our prizes. Did you get any sort of feedback?
Let's see. I am still at 99, but who would have thought I would have ever been there?
So, no responses?
Nope, not yet.
All right. Well, it seems as though people are not interested in VHS's. Or free tickets to an independent show in New Jersey.
I think everybody listens to us on podcast the next day. That's what I think happens.
Well, if that's the case, then you know what I'm going to say, and I'm sure JCD will agree. You know, if people are downloading this and listening to it, send us a tweet, tell us you listened to the show, and you will be in the running to win some prizes.
That's awesome.
Exactly. I'm fair.
Next week, I think we're going to give away some FWE stuff. I got a DVD and an autograph to give away. So,
nice.
So we'll do that next week.
Speaking of FWE, I figure that's a good segue. So
yeah.
How terrible did TNA get this wrong with Gut Check?
With Ivelisse?
Ivelisse, yeah.
I mean, are you surprised that TNA made a terrible decision?
No, I'm not surprised they made a terrible decision, but I thought for sure...
We're used to that, aren't we?
Yeah.
No offense to you, Rick.
Yeah, and Rick, don't worry. We're going to do plenty of lockdown in a little bit because I actually did something I haven't done in God knows how long. I watched the TNA pay-per-view.
Oh,
holy
cool.
Holy shoot. But anyway, I look at it like this. If you were not gonna pick her for Gut Check, and you were gonna pick, you know, what's the name, Lai, whatever. Why have Ivelisse go over the week before? Why?
What do you think, Rick?
Well, she definitely has name recognition. I'm shocked too. She has the look. She's obviously a nice looking lady. In Lady Tapa's defense, I tell you what, she's an incredibly nice woman. I've talked to her on Facebook a few times. Very, very personal, nice lady. She's young. She's got talent. I can see she can see something if they work with her, but I don't know if she's
Don't get me wrong, Rick. This is not a shot against Tapa.
Right,
this is
right,
not a
right.
shot against Tapa. This is more, again, what, you know, again,
yeah, why
not
did they put her over if she wasn't
going
to go through?
Things. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand it either. I was really shocked to see it.
Because I get the character they can do with Tapa. She's big. She's
yep.
dominating. She could be almost, not as Kong, but she could be a bruiser like that, almost
yeah,
like a
Barbarian's niece.
Yeah, exactly. So I get the character, you know, and that could work great, but you still had someone half her size tap her out, no less. You know, that's where it's like, okay, this 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 here.
John, I would swear that Vince Russo was still in charge because it seems like they still do things for shock value. I mean, look, we'll get into the Bully Ray turn and all that stuff here in a little bit, but they do things for shock value instead of things that make storyline sense. So,
and, you know, it's funny, though, and we're going to get into this with lockdown because they did something disgusting on Sunday that if Vince would have done it, the IWC would look to have Vince hanging from a cross and crucify him. But yet, because the little Southern, you know, idiot did it, it's, oh, well, you know, hey, that's just things happen. So we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, why don't we take a 14-second break? And
very specific.
Take a listen to the Big O. Once I find a sound, but there we are.
Uh-oh, it's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned, we got a great episode ahead, and if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
All right. We have about 10.5 minutes left in the live show. If anyone is interested in joining our conversation, we're going to cover WWE and TNA news and rumors. You can call in at 760-888-5749. All right, do we want to continue with the TNA talk or put that on hold?
I guess since we're there, might as well finish it up. Then I guess
we can
go on to Raw.
Yeah, let's finish up the TNA talk.
Okay, so we had lockdown. And obviously the big thing of lockdown, Bully Ray revealed as the leader of Aces and Eights, the new TNA World Champion. I, for one, as predictable as it was, two things were done very well with this. Number one, the level of suspicion away from Bully Ray was done just enough to make you think maybe it wasn't going to be Bully that turned. With Hogan constantly not bad-mouthing Jeff Hardy, but just saying that he wanted Bully as the man instead of Jeff, that kind of made me think, is there a chance that Hardy's the one that's going to turn? And then the execution of that turn was just phenomenal. The post-match stuff was great. That line of, yeah, Devon, let that bitch cry, was just phenomenal. And if anybody has watched them together in old ECW videos, if you're looking for someone to get heat, this is the guy to do it.
I tell you what, John, Bully Ray over the last year and a half, 2 years, has done some of the best work of his career. His promos are almost always spot on. He can generate reaction out of anybody.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't disagree with you guys. I find that one of the biggest criticisms with this and with Aces and Ace in general is that, and maybe it's TNA as a whole, is the emphasis on the veteran wrestlers. You know, you got all the old school or a bunch of old WWE guys. D'Lo Brown was revealed not very long ago. You know, Bully Ray, as great as he has been, and I agree with you, Rick, that recently, over the last, I think you said, year or two, he's definitely been one of the best parts of TNA. Do you guys, you know, agree with the criticism that the emphasis is on the wrong age group?
No, and I'm going to tell you why, because I think over the last 2 years, TNA has tried harder, and I like TNA. I watch it every week. I'm a supporter of them, but I will also acknowledge when they're doing the wrong thing. In the last 2 years, I think they're starting to get it right. They're starting to push different people. You saw Bobby Roode emerge finally. You saw James Storm emerge finally, where the Stings and the Angles and the Jeff Jarretts and people like that were always in the title matches and always, you know, up for the big belts. Now you're seeing, you know, Bully Ray as a singles wrestler coming up and getting in there. Austin Aries, you know, you're seeing some different names. No Rob Van Dams and stuff always in the title picture, and Mr. Anderson's fading away a little bit. But it's kind of refreshing to see different people at the top. Now, how much shelf life that's going to have before people get tired of it, because Bully Ray has been around for a while. You know, I'd like to see Magnus get his due one of these days. He's 25 years old and a stud. So, you know, what are they waiting for with him? So, I don't know. I understand what you're saying, Seth, but there has been a positive direction, at least getting different people in the main event picture. Now, where do they go from here?
Here's my thing with it.
Yeah.
Bully Ray has been a guy that's been around forever, yes, but not in this incarnation. You know,
right.
This is still, you know, this is no longer Bubba Ray Dudley.
Right.
You know, this is Bully Ray. He has legitimately made that name for himself. Whereas when RVD came in and won the title 2 weeks later, when, you know, Sting was main eventing against Bobby Roode, what TNA does, and they do it with superstars, and they do it with concepts, and this is where, you know, they need to fix one of their problems is, you can't, it seems like they get too quick to pull back something new. Like Storm and Roode, we've gone over this a million times. That's the type of feud that carries a company. It was the second match on Bound for Glory, and it was more about a guy who got knocked on his ass, okay, 2 weeks ago. It wasn't about their feud. That's where they get, you know, Aries gets hot, they got to turn him heel because they need to put the belt on Jeff Hardy. You know, they need to let some of these guys get some traction under them, and that's the one thing they do wrong. It's the same thing with their concepts. They were live on Monday nights. The rating didn't pop after 8 weeks. They pulled it. They were, you know, you gotta let this stuff, you gotta crawl before you can walk. And TNA just wants to get up and run, and that's their problem with everything.
And I have to agree with you on that because, I mean, look at how many times they've started something on television only to forget completely about it 3 weeks later. And you know, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's maddening. I mean, you see these things, these angles start up, and then all of a sudden you don't, there's no conclusion to anything. That's why the world is beating up Aces and Eights, and I understand why. But I applaud the fact that TNA is actually dragging something out and developing it and letting it simmer and not caving into the pressure of revealing it after 3 weeks. They've actually gone, you know, almost three quarters of a year. So this is uncharted territory for TNA. I think it's a refreshing move for them, whether you like the angle or not.
Right, and for everyone who craps on the D'Lo Brown reveal, look at it like this. This was not meant to reveal D'Lo Brown, the wrestler. This was to reveal that, oh, my God, someone in TNA management now is a part of this group.
Right.
And
right.
That's what made it good. If you were looking at this as, oh, D'Lo Brown, the wrestler, and D'Lo Brown's going to come back, and he's probably going to feud with Kurt Angle. That's probably where they're going. And, you know, that will be what it will be. But this is not a long-term to get D'Lo back in the ring type storyline. This is more of, wow, he was involved in Gut Check. He's an official for TNA. Now he's with them. How much power do they have? How far does this thing reach? You know, when they bring in a new backstage agent, which they have no problem acknowledging their agents in the, you know, they acknowledge Pat Kearney, they acknowledge a lot of those guys. Now you can sit there and say, is this going to be a guy we can trust? Is this someone with them? It gives a different dynamic to the whole company as a whole. So in that sense, it's very good. And that's what, you know, sometimes you have to take a step back and realize the big picture with things. And, you know, that's where the D'Lo Brown thing works. It's not meant to work like, oh, wow, look at this. They just pulled D'Lo Brown back on the main roster. That's not what that's about. This works. Bully with the belt is going to work. What's going to hurt this whole thing is Brooke Hogan. She is the worst. Going on Twitter and telling people, guys, this isn't fake, this is real, my husband, he just turned his back on me. You got to stop that. Because that's what's going to turn you from a sympathetic victim in all this, and, you know, it's going to turn you into a joke, and eventually that's going to trickle down to Hulk. The nostalgia pops are going to turn into heat. And it's not going to turn into heat for Bully. It's going to turn into heat on the Hogans. And that's not the point of this.
Well, like you were saying, JCD, that like we have talked about TNA actually progressing storylines. Even as much as I hated the Clara Lynch storyline, again, at least they built a story and told the story, and they didn't give up on it and saw it through. That's all I ask out of wrestling, is to see things through and quit starting things that you're not capable of finishing. We'll get into Fandango in a little bit, I guess, if we have time to, but WWE apparently considering pulling the plug on him already, but we'll get into that later.
That's the new rumor that's out there.
Yeah,
tonight.
I heard he's taking on... taking on Jericho at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We are about to go off the live show, so anyone who's listening in, we thank you for listening to the live show. And remember, you can always download episodes of PWP Radio and Oh You Didn't Know Radio and Spoilers Podcast on iTunes. All right. Anything else in terms of TNA, Bully Ray?
The last thing
we need to flip the coin so we can go to overtime.
The last thing I wanted to touch on with TNA, like I said in the beginning, the one thing they did that if Vince would have done, Vince would have been crucified for, was how dare you advertise Lethal Lockdown and give us a 5-on-5 regular steel cage match. Hello?
What do you think, Rick?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't get to see any of it, so I need to be informed a little bit better, I think.
Okay, basically, you know what Lethal Lockdown is. It's the steel cage match with the roof that comes down with the weapons on top. You get
the
insane bump. you know.
And they didn't do the weapon.
Like, huh?
They didn't do the weapons?
They didn't do the roof.
Oh,
that would be
goodness.
Like Vince advertising a Hell in a Cell match and giving us a regular steel cage. And if Vince would have done that, the IWC and, quite frankly, the Internet might have exploded with the amount of crybabies that would have had a seizure over this. And this is not, you know, TNA is notorious for this, for advertising something, not delivering, and then not offering their fans anything. At least say what you will about Vince. Say what you will about the product. When Cena had his elbow surgery, when Punk had his knee surgery, they weren't on house shows. And you know what? Every person that went to that house show was offered a refund. Because if you went there to see Cena or Punk.
Right.
What was your
review of the show? Was Lethal Lockdown a good show?
It was a one trick show.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Usually, that's about the only thing TNA does right is they usually have pretty solid pay-per-views, but...
It was built... You know what it was? It was one of those shows that you just sat there and you just waited for the main event to come.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame because that's probably not fair to everyone else involved in that show, but it's just one of those things with the way the storylines were headed, you just waited till about 10:30 when Hardy and Bully came out.
Was the match good?
The match was good. They told a very good story in the ring. They did two aces and eights run-ins, which was good. Bully and Hardy fought off the first one. Then it was the big one, and that's, you know, Hardy and Bully back-to-back, and then Devon staring at Bully and throwing him the hammer was just, it was awesome. I got to admit, that as predictable as it was, the execution was phenomenal. And then the heat on Bully at the end was amazing.
Now, getting to our predictions of who was the president of Aces and Eights, I think I bombed miserably with my Abyss prediction.
Hey,
Jarrett, which everybody was thinking could have been Jeff Jarrett or Eric Bischoff, too. I'm just glad neither one of those two were in.
I'll say this, though. If you look at a company, it doesn't end at a president. There's still higher-ranking people, so
yeah,
Bully may not be the end game of it.
Interesting.
All right, we're losing Seth here with TNA. Let's switch over to Raw.
Yeah, let's switch over.
Sorry, I'm just not as knowledgeable. I just don't like it as much. Not that I think WWE does everything right, obviously, but I find TNA difficult to watch.
Oh, yeah, I watched it. Like I said, I watched the pay-per-view for the first time in forever on my laptop the other Sunday night, and it was a long 3 hours.
Yeah, it's always going to be viewed as weaker to me. I mean, that's how I felt about WCW, honestly. I was always very loyal to WWF and WWE. I did watch WCW occasionally, but... Yeah, I can say the same about TNA.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Raw. From my hometown of Indianapolis, Indiana. I was not there. You know what? I went to a Wild Championship Wrestling Outlaw show the day before when I was telling JCD and Mr. Ottman that I got to meet Beefcake there. I wanted to get back to an indie show. And to be perfectly honest with you, I had forgotten Raw was even in Indianapolis this soon. So... My nephew went. He got great seats, I guess, from what I understand, and had a good time. But I sat on my couch and watched it from the luxury of my own home with the rest of you.
I thought it was a pretty good episode. You know, nothing too crazy happened, but I think that they handled the Paul Bearer situation correctly. I think Fred Ottman and I'm sure lots of other people saw it as disrespectful, but knowing WWE and knowing their history of using real-life events, I was just not surprised at all, and I thought, considering everything, I actually thought that they did the right thing the way they used it.
The funny thing is we need to remember... Go ahead, JCD, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that, you know, this was pretty tame, you know... compared to some of the other stuff they've done in situations like this was actually pretty tame. Remember, this is still the same company that had Randy Orton tell Rey Mysterio that Eddie Guerrero was in hell. This was pretty tame, and I got to be honest with you, I thought it was really well done. And the one thing, for everyone that complains, Bearer's sons were in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
so, number
right.
one, they were there. Number two, you really think Taker, who pretty much controls everything that he does, would have done or let them do anything that would have been over the line or crossing a boundary? There's no way. And Punk even said it himself when Punk came out. Punk's like, I'm not here to say anything about Paul Bearer. In fact, you'll always be perfect to him. But you know what? I am here to say sorry for your loss at WrestleMania. Like, Punk, like, right off the bat addressed it, you know, that he wasn't there for that. So I have no problem with what they did at the beginning of the show or the end of the show. And I think they'll tie it in with a nice little thing at WrestleMania. And you know what? I watched an interview with Bearer the night Owen Hart died, and he said, he's like, you know, Owen would have wanted the show to go on. He understood the business. And you know what? So did Bearer. Bearer understood the business, and Bearer probably would have been the first one to say, yeah, let's do that.
You bring up an awesome point. Remember who we're dealing with here, number one, WWE, Katie Vick. Mae Young giving birth to a hand. I mean, let's remember who we're dealing with. But secondly, to your point, Jerry Lawler, a wrestling lifer. Paul Bearer was a wrestling lifer. They would do anything to sell a storyline to help the company make money. They were there as loyal subjects for Vince McMahon. I honestly think, I mean, the Moody children were there, we know. They had to have signed off. And from what I understand, every party involved has got to sign off on something like that before it goes into fruition. If one person does not like or does not want it to happen, it won't happen. So obviously the blessing was given. I think William Moody, knowing the background of him and how long his career has been in supporting wrestling from grassroots all the way up into the top level, I think he wanted to go out that way. He would have wanted to go out that way.
Yeah. I just think the whole thing, like JC Dace just said, it was done well, and it was not taking too much advantage of. And like JC Dace said, I don't think that The Undertaker would have let that happen anyway.
Right.
All right, what else? You know, Rick was talking about Fandango or
Fandango.
Rick, tell me your thoughts on him. And I don't know if you read this ridiculous rumor today about a possibility of him versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania.
Well, I'm getting from sources that I've not had reason to doubt that it's been made official. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it for myself, but like I said, friends who are in pretty high places and get information that's pretty accurate confirmed the match. So that's why I brought it up, I guess. If it's going down, why, I guess, is my question, is what does Jericho have to do with Fandango? But I don't know.
I would be shocked if that match happened, and I think that it would be a terrible mistake. It makes no sense whatsoever.
It doesn't. And bring into the point of Punk real quick with Undertaker. Now they gave us a reason for the match.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
in terms of him hitting him with the urn and cane and everything.
They just threw it together, Punk versus Undertaker, big deal. Possibly streaking, but now they gave us a reason to get invested in it.
Yeah, but I think that Undertaker doesn't always need a reason for a feud. I mean, his streak is a feud of its own, but they definitely add a fire to it.
Yeah, but you know what? Look at it like this, and Rick brought up that's a really good point by Rick. Look at his last four WrestleMania matches, two with Shawn Michaels, two with Triple H, both faces, both bred about respect, and you know what? You know, we're both legends. You know what, this is the first time in a while he's actually done something with somebody where there was actual pure hatred.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we haven't seen this in the last 4 years with Taker, because it's always been, you know, last year was Taker got laid out by Triple H, even though Taker won, so he needed to, he
it's
needed
all about
his
respect.
Vengeance.
It's all
yeah.
about respect.
Triple H
for the last
wanted
4 years.
To end the streak because there was no one left to beat. Michaels, you know, needed to beat Taker or he didn't deserve to have a career. So, you know, we haven't had a real Taker WrestleMania feud since him and Edge in 08. So, you know, this is good. You need this for Taker. This isn't just about, you know, I get what you're saying, Seth, but it's a little more about just the streak. Like, I just want to be the guy that ends this.
Right.
You know, because that routine's actually starting to get a little old. And that's probably going to be, if everything's true about him and Cena next year, that's probably going to be Cena's angle into it. You know, I've done everything except one thing. You know, so it's good that there's an actual storyline, you know, with Taker. And hopefully he's not, you know, maybe this is a sign that maybe he won't just be around for WrestleMania, you know?
So I know you're just itching to talk about Fandango, so you can get back to that now, Seth, if you want.
I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted.
Okay. I think more importantly, before we get into Fandango, we need to get into what was without a doubt the segment of the year.
Oh, the Road Scholars.
Team Road Scholars.
Oh, you were not aware of this?
Your posterior.
Your posterior.
Hey, Seth gave
somebody
it.
At once.
Hey, the gut dog gave the introduction before the show started tonight, didn't you, Seth?
Yeah, I did.
The new introduction.
I hope it came out well. I hope the sound came out well. But definitely the best part of Raw, by far.
Yeah. Yeah,
Damian
becoming
Sandow,
something to see.
Sandow is just brilliant on the mic.
What did you guys think of Brock Lesnar laying waste to the New Age Outlaws?
I thought it totally made sense.
Yeah.
I mean, he did the same thing to Shawn Michaels, a friend of Triple H last year, or whenever it was prior to their last match. And here are another couple of friends of Triple H. And that's probably why the New Age Outlaws were put into that match.
And you're right. The thing I don't like about it, and you can pretty much kiss the Usos' career goodbye after Big Show manhandled both of them rather handily. You know, if the New Age Outlaws were brought here just to do this purpose and then they're gone, okay. But if they intended to bring them back to make them a legitimate tag team again, they just made a terrible mistake with making them look weak. Even if it is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I don't think it's more about making them look weak. I think it was more about making them look more,
vulnerable.
Making Lesnar look more dominating and just ridiculous. They look great, though. They looked great. And, you know, I know there's a rumor now about Ziggler and Langston getting the shot at Hell No. I'd rather see some sort of tag turmoil match and put the Outlaws in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it fun.
Why do you think the Road Scholars were brought back so soon after they said they were done?
Because it was a terrible mistake to break them up in the first place.
Maybe they realized, hey, we still don't have a storyline for these guys yet.
And both guys were losing every match after they split up.
And still are.
They still are, but... It actually reminds me, because I wrote something for one of the sites that I write for. You know, Caitlyn's been flirting with Cody Rhodes a lot recently, and we saw that whole backstage segment on Raw where the Bethel twins returned. Is Cody Rhodes going to turn face at some point?
Well, I think they're setting up a turn for Cody hooking up with Caitlin and the way Damian was down-talking Caitlin and bringing the Bellas up. I don't know. We'll have to see how Cody, if he's going to, you know, cuddle up with the Bellas or if he's going to realize his heart is with Caitlin. If he does that, then, yeah, he's going to turn and Damian and he are going to feud. Because Damian was pretty much bad-mouthing Caitlin pretty well, and Cody kind of gave him the look until he brought the Bellas in, and then he kind of got back to the graces again.
I just worry about Cody Rhodes as a singles wrestler as a face. I mean, he found most of his success when he was the heel with the mask and then the Intercontinental title. The dashing gimmick I thought was pretty good.
It's very reminiscent of The Miz. I mean,
but I don't know how he's going to come off as a face. You think it's going to be similar to The Miz? I wouldn't necessarily say The Miz's face turn has been that successful.
Well, that's what I agree with you. I don't know about that. I think some of the noise we're hearing is planted noise, but it's very reminiscent of it to me. I think of The Miz, I think of Cody Rhodes, very similar ages, characters, kind of cocky, and then they turn them face. What's going to happen?
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting.
I don't think it would be a great decision.
I don't think he's going face. I think they're going to tease it, and when it comes to push comes to shove, I could see him. He'll turn on Caitlin and probably cost her the title, you know. And they'll stay with the Bellas. The four of them together, that could be a fun little be a fun little dynamic there.
Yes, it could. How about the next rumor, guys? We ready? Somebody tweeted a certain Kia Stevens on Twitter and asked about if we're going to hear that cackling voice now that the Bellas are back in the WWE, and there was a maybe come back from Awesome Kong / Karma.
And even one, I'll do you one better on that real quick.
Yeah.
She was offered a spot at the TNA. They're going
to
do that one-night-only pay-per-view with the Divas. She turned it down.
No, the Knockouts, not the Divas. Now, come on.
Whatever.
JCD, jeez.
Sorry. Whatever.
So did Angelina Love turned it down as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people turn that down, and WWE is contacting a lot of people also.
Turning down from Kelly and Maurice.
Exactly.
Well, they turned down the first offer, but they're still negotiating.
Still negotiating, right.
I mean, it's...
So what are we thinking of Karma coming back and getting her revenge on the Bella Twins for their dissing of her when she was announcing her pregnancy?
I mean, if they can work out a deal, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll take it. I never gave them any real heat for letting her go. You know, their reasoning, you know, being, you know, the personal side of it, you know, hey, listen, you know, go do what you need to do for yourself. You know, as someone who's kind of been, who's been there with that situation, it was more the better thing for them to do than to keep her around and force her, you know, on the road and all that. So, you know,
I've heard a completely different thing with that, though. I heard when she did also come back that she was going down to developmental to work in Florida for a little while, and from what I understand, developed a lousy attitude, didn't work hard to lose weight, and they released her.
With what she went through, could you blame her for not being in the best mood, though?
I can understand that.
But
they say she developed a nasty attitude towards the talent down there, and she wasn't working hard to lose her weight, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if it's true, if it's substantiated
by anybody or not.
So.
I heard a lot of it was just the fact that, you know what, go get your head together.
Right.
All right, guys, I think we got to wrap up here.
But we're having so much fun.
I know. We've really gotten into overtime today.
We didn't even get our bro off, man, bro.
You'll have to schedule that, Rick, with all your interviews.
Rick, I'm telling you, it's going to come when you least expect it, my man.
I know it. Don't dance for me, please.
You're going to see a picture of me. You're going to see a picture of me at like the Safeco Field House and just plain simple holding up a sign. It's on.
That'd be good. That'd be good. All right.
That's debatable.
Oh, You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Radio Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/ Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. Follow at JCD1219NY.
Damn it.
I just got a tweet from someone that they are interested in the VHS.
Sweet.
Follow me at SethGutt, SethGutt. On Facebook, also join Rick Craig's group, Pro Wrestling Obsession. Great group there. Fred Ottman is a member of that group. So check that out. And as always, of course, if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you guys tonight. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Later.
Later.